Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
To break it, you're not the same as anyone here, but we can take it. We're short or brown or round or we're queer. I got a feeling we are onto something here.
Live from King's Place in London, the Spontaneity Shop presents Global Pillage, the comedy panel show starring you, the hive mind of the audience.
And if you're worried, trouble might be coming your way. In it together, I think that's what I heard the man say. I've got a feeling we are gonna be okay.
Mark Hodge on keyboard, everyone! Hello, I'm Deborah Frances White, and this is Global Pillage, the comedy panel show in which we pillage the globe for all the odd facts, phobias, and filibusters belonging to the creatures who currently run planet Earth, human beings. To help us face our humanity with hollow laughter rather than raging tears of insanity, please welcome some comedians. On my left, playing for no boxers, Sajila Kershi and Desiree Birch. And on my right, playing for Shea Bays, Nish Kumar and Rose Matafeo. So Desiree Birch, you're called No Boxers. Why are you called No Boxers?
Because we were trying to figure out things that we had in common, and obviously the most superficial ones came up first. And Sajila was like, oh, I hate ticking all those boxes and BAME. And I was like, yeah, totally. We don't need no stinking boxes, except for the one that we have. But don't tick it. Don't tick it.
Just tickle it.
Yes.
Nice. So how are you diverse, Desiree?
Well, aside from all of the surface things and boxes that I won't tick, I was recently rejected in my attempted smooth peanut butter love affair from one Mr. Ned over here, who hasn't called or had a sandwich with me
since I last saw you. It's the 21st century. I was waiting for you to call.
Oh, dear. All right, fine. Well, then apparently I am not assertive enough. But also, I am originally from Los Angeles and don't hate it.
Ah, yes,
which is
are.
A rarity.
Great. Yeah. So you've been scuppered by feminism.
Yes.
This week. And
goddamn
feminism. Sajila, how are you diverse?
I am not born here. I was born in Pakistan and really learned to be British really, really quickly growing up here. And diverse because I actually am ending up ticking lots of boxes as I go along, even though I don't want to tick those bloody boxes. I've just recently become deaf. It's going to help with my work. Shut up, right? Yeah, because all those boxes, they help you. Apparently, you just get fast-tracked in comedy.
It's
brown,
true.
Muslim, deaf.
You'll have your own television
feminist
show on BBC One by Thursday.
Yeah, that's right.
I feel
right.
It that's strongly. Exactly. Yeah. And you've become deaf.
I have. It's horrible. I don't know if it's from the from actually doing the comedy sort of rooms and stuff, all the big loud noises or whatever. But yeah, it started with 1 year, and this last couple of weeks is the second year. So I might have struggled a little because I'm trying to get used to my hearing aids. It's great. It's got different levels. It's got different levels. I can shut out this side and just listen to you.
Fantastic.
Yeah. You're dead to me.
I wish I could do that on Twitter. And Shea Bays.
Shea Bays.
Shea Bays.
Don't know what it means, really.
We actually are flatmates. Yeah. We live together in Shepherd's Bush.
This is a sitcom.
Yeah, I was saying the other day, it's like if Rachel and Joey living together and Friends if they were brown.
Yeah.
Just going to be just throwing a spaghetti.
Have you thought about pitching Brown Friends?
Yeah.
Just call it that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're the only ones.
So. Could I be any more brown?
No.
We were on a break having a curry.
So Shebaze is spelt S-H-E-P, which is like Shep in Shepherd's Bush.
We call it Shebu.
People call people call Shepherd's Bush
when
Shebu.
When you say people, you mean just you.
Yeah,
just
me.
You.
Just old NK-47.
I started saying it to other people in this country, and I was like, yeah, I love a Shebu, and they're like, what are you talking about?
And bae is apparently a term from the internet, which is something that Rose is trying to teach me about. Because Rose is a young person.
Yep. Well, that was you didn't believe that, so that's fine. A deafening silence there. You thought that was a joke. Okay, I get it.
So, Rose Masfeo, how are you diverse?
I'm not from here. That's why I'm talking funny. I'm not having a stroke. I am
from New Zealand.
I'm from New Zealand. I'm from New Zealand. I'm half Samoan.
See, that is a word I'm scared to say. Because when I say it, it sounds like this, Samoan.
Yeah.
And then always, they'll say...
Samoa. Yeah.
And I'll try and say it like that. I'll go, yes, Samoa.
Because it's easier to say, though.
It's like, is it like schmores, the sort of the things that you cook?
It's
American
like that, but a different word. it's just like asking for Samoa or something.
Oh, great. Okay, Samoa.
So when you're thinking of how to say that word, just think of Samoa.
It's like a really liberal My Fair Lady right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, Nish has pointed out that you're young. That's a piece of diversity there. You're a millennial.
No, yeah, I guess so. Yeah, but we're not very different in age.
How are you diverse?
Classic brown.
Classic brown.
Absolutely textbook bit of brown.
Right.
Parents from India, born in this country, comedian, great guy. These are all the classic.
People think we're related.
People do think we are related.
We go out all the time. We go out to, I say all the time. We go to Nando's.
Yeah, we go to Nando's.
There's a Nando's across the road. We go out a lot. We go to Nando's.
Yeah,
and they know our names.
We're about quite a lot of the hot spots in Shebu. The Nando's, the View Cinema. We're often there.
Yeah, but...
I don't know if you've heard of a little boutique called The Westfield.
Gorgeous little boutique. Wonderful.
Yeah, people do think we're related because we've got curly hair and occasionally I tell people that we're related. But other than that...
I see now. So I'm Deborah Frances White and I'm diverse because I've just realised I am the only white person on this panel. Whoa. Yeah, whoa. I'm white.
This is not what we voted Leave for. We have voted against this kind of nonsense.
I know. Do you reckon this is the first time this has happened on a British panel show?
What, there's only one honky?
Yeah.
But we've gone into a solo honk territory.
Yeah, I think this episode marks the end of white supremacy. Yeah. Globally. Making sure that no joke is funnier than it is factual, please welcome in Pedant's Corner our debonair, doctrinaire, Ned Sedgwick.
Hello.
And on piano and forte, with rhythm and views, Mark Hodge. Ned Sedgwick, what makes you diverse?
Not changed. Still white.
I know,
still
but
straight.
People might have just tuned in for this episode.
For the first time. Well, I once said on this show that I'm an eighth Indian, and Nish really didn't like that.
Yeah.
he really...
It's just when a white person says that they're a bit Indian, it's not a good story behind that.
To be fair, though, Ned, I think it is a nice story, isn't it?
It's a lovely story.
Is it not a story of working class heartache?
It's a story of a soldier going to India and falling in love with... that's not...
Okay, right. You said soldier. We'll move on.
It's the charming story of a man who massacred a village.
It was a town.
Mark Hodge, what makes you diverse? Please tell us something nice.
Well, I'm gay, but apparently I'm told I'm not camp.
Who told you that?
Generally in life I have been told that I'm not very camp, which is just as well, because I went to a school which I did a Google search on my old school in Basingstoke, and they came up in the Google search in the newspapers and the nationals for having been found out for having on the website a policy document which said male-to-male genital contact cannot be condoned in personal social relationships.
Wow. Yeah. But was that just in the classroom, though? That's because that's fair. For any...
I like the phrase genital contact. Yeah. It's just like, you can't rub them together. That's not...
On every episode of Global Pillage, our hive mind creates a special jingle for this show. So if you could stand up, if your name, your first name, starts with A, B, C, D, E, F, G, or G sharp. Mark will point to you and you can shout your name, and that's how we're going to create the jingle.
Okay. Lady at the back in Stripey Dog.
Carla.
Good start. And another Stripey Dog. Triads and jumper over here.
Catherine.
Yeah. And more stripes.
Astrid.
Now I need to guess the name of this last person in order to make this tune work. A lady at the back in the black sort of spotty.
Alison.
It's okay. It might just be a little bit minor, like.
That's our jingle.
Generational thing.
I blame your names.
Okay, well, I've got to do something else. I could cheat it. We could go.
I mean, no one will notice.
No.
Yeah.
I quite like the somber one. Yeah. Yeah. It gives it a nice vibe. It sounds like the sort of signature tune of a cheeky villain in a musical.
I was going to say, I'm going to kill everyone. I was just going to say, Nish, if you twirled your moustache when he played that, that would be brilliant.
I'm going to kill everyone. Hey, if anyone is casting the West End run of Hamilton, I am available.
Round is on good and bad luck. All the teams get a chance to answer, but you get more points if you buzz in first with a correct answer. The hive mind gets a chance to answer after both teams of comedians have answered. Fingers on buzzers. In Romania, it is considered bad luck to do what with a candle? I heard Shea Bays.
Eat it with your butt.
We're so in sync.
Eat it with your butt.
Yes, I think there are emergency rooms all over Britain that would concur that that is bad luck. No
what's
boxes.
The thing that's good luck to eat with your butt.
Yeah, that's so true.
Very good point. Checkmate, Desiree.
Your genes. Let's see. It's bad luck to show a candle to a vampire because then it'll be like, that doesn't work on me, and then it'll bite you.
What if the candle isn't lit?
What if you show it to its butt?
It's the best luck because they'll be like, I've been stopped up.
Do you agree with that answer? What is it bad luck to do with a candle in Romania?
Perhaps it's bad luck to light a candle in church because the candle is the vampire.
Don't light it in church. Are you sticking with... Have your
100%.
100%. Right.
Eat it with your butt. Final answer.
Hive mind. In Romania, it's considered bad luck to do what with a candle?
Light it in the day.
Take it from one room to another when it's lit. So light it in one room and then carry it into
another room. Oh, that's good.
Take it from one room and carry it into another room while lit.
Now, how are you holding it in your butt while you're walking to the next room? Because that flame's just going to go out immediately. Hive mind, anything else?
Leave it unattended.
Leave it unattended. I'm genuinely terrified of lighting candles. Like, you know how candlelight is a nice thing. Can you leave a candle unattended in a room? Because I can't. Yeah. Can you? Yeah.
No, you did once. No, we did. No, you did. No, you did. You lit the candle.
It's his proud friends. It's Joey and Rachel.
Nish did. I lit it. I went to bed and I was like, good night. Obviously, when you say good night and someone's still in the lounge and there's a candle lit, that's their responsibility to, like, blow out the candle, right?
No way, man.
Woke up the next morning.
Yeah.
To a smouldering candle.
The house really smelled of vanilla.
Yeah.
Ironically, given its chocolate residence.
So, hive mind. If you're listening at home, that was a high five from the chocolate residence of Shea Bay.
I feel like we need to go back in time and live together because we know some of this stuff.
So good to live with Desiree. We'd have loads more stories than you got.
Yeah, right? Yeah. You don't even know the things I've left in my butt.
If you think it's light it in the day, bad luck in Romania, buzz now. If you think it's take it from one room to another while lit, buzz now. Leave it unattended, buzz now. You've gone for light it in the day. In fact, it is bad luck to blow it out.
Oh.
I know, Ned Sedgwick. Yeah.
Blow it out.
This is presumably why Nish didn't blow it out. Ned Sedgwick, please explain this.
It represents cutting life short.
Right, but then what do you do? Just let your house burn down?
You put it in your butt. Yeah. That's what you do.
Is it perhaps you put one of those little candle covers over it so you can't blow it out, but you can snuff it out?
My research suggested they don't have those implements. They let it go. They let it go.
Naturally let the rotation of the earth.
That's really wasteful as well. Like, Jo Malone candles are really expensive. I can't be dealing with this kind of...
They have electricity now, so they don't need to worry about it as much.
Right, no, but this is...
Breaking news, Romania has electricity.
Well, actually, Timothy... Timișoara in Western Romania was the first city to have electric streetlights.
Really?
Really, yeah. I went there just to see them and it didn't disappoint. That is actually true.
I didn't doubt it for a second because I know you, Ned. In Serbia, what should you do to give someone good luck on a journey?
Serbia. Shebe? Serbia. Okay, Serbia. Now, is that a country?
Oh, Rose, you have stepped into some right geopolitical
deal. Yeah, really have. One quarter Croatian, so yeah, no, I know. I fucking know. So, you know, putting a thing in the suitcase. Slipping some food into their suitcase so they can take it to the Serbian family, because that's what a lot of my Croatian family do. Is
sneaking
that
some food in the suitcase.
They just sneak a ham. Like, one of my family friends lives in Dubai, and I swear to God, she is like...
Wait, she's like ham into... That's going to fuck you if you go to Australia, because they are very concerned about food coming into Australia.
They're very...
If you have any food in your bag, we're going to fucking eat your throat. You're like, oh, God.
They really strict. They said, do you have any food? And I said, no, because I didn't think I had. But I'd forgotten I'd bought souvenir Fortnum & Mason biscuits sealed in a tin, like for my family. It was like a present. And when the man found it, he opened it and said, what's this? Yeah. And I went, oh, it's Fortnum & Mason biscuits. Is this food? yes. Well, it is food. I asked if you had any food, and you said no. And I went, yeah, no, I forgot. You don't forget food. Australian customs. You never forget food again. You will not forget that you have brought food after what I'm about to do to you. Honestly, it was really terrifying. And it was sealed.
You're living a very classy life, Deborah, if you don't mind me saying. You've dropped two references. One was to a Jo Malone candle. And the other one was to Fortnum & Mason biscuits.
What can I tell you? I have white people problems. No boxes. In Serbia, what do you do if you want to wish someone luck on their journey?
Kiss them deeply with tongue, and that way they feel awkward about coming home anytime soon. And they do really well wherever they're going.
Right. Okay. Kiss with tongue. So, Gila, will you back up your teammate?
Well, I'm just thinking Serbia, quite Muslim. What do we do? What do my family do when they wish me good luck? And they grab my face and they say, be safe. Be safe. And it's like really scary because you think... What's happening? What do you know that I don't know? And he's like, just be safe. And then they start crying. And I think, shit, I'm not going to come back. They know something.
So raise an alarm. Hive minds.
Yeah.
In Serbia, what do you do if you want to wish someone luck on their journey?
Give them a rabbit's foot.
Yes, thank you. We had a couple of sensible answers. Now this lady's gone wacky. Thank God. Thank God.
Lucky rabbit's foot. You know, rabbit's foot is traditionally lucky, though. Nish.
Is it really?
What? Yes.
Did you think? What? We were thinking, that's not particularly
white
wacky.
White people
answers.
Are so weird.
What
the fuck is wrong with you, honestly?
Yeah,
getting rabbit's feet, enjoying Kings of Leon.
I've mind.
Take their jewellery.
Rob them.
Yes. Oh, so they don't get robbed. So if I take your jewellery, you won't get robbed. Okay. That could be seen to be lucky in some ways.
I love the fact that you've got a proper London accent as well. So it's like, rob them. Fucking rob the cunts.
Anything else I've mind?
Spit on their feet.
spit on their feet. Okay, great.
Whoa.
That doesn't get away without it.
Do you have to just breeze past that?
Do you have knowledge of this?
Some customs, some countries, spitting on them is good luck.
Oh. My great aunt Rose must have known that. Just by the way she spoke. Okay, so if you think it's rabbit's foot, buzz now. If you think it's take their jewellery from them so they can't get robbed at their destination, buzz now. Pre-rob them. Or spit on their feet, buzz now. In fact, it's spill water on their back. Oh. Which I just don't know that I would want at the top of a long car journey.
Actually, if it's a car journey, they throw the water on the back of a car rather than on you, yeah.
Oh, really? So if you're walking, they throw it on your back?
Yeah, if you're just walking out the door, they're like, bye, and you kind of try and back out. But actually, I just remembered, it is also considered bad luck to walk backwards in Serbia. And maybe this is just some big conspiracy. No, because the water represents things running smoothly. And it's like, oh,
may your trip be like smooth. Running water.
Who was the first person to do that?
Just chuck
it on the car and be like, yeah,
good luck.
All of that. Running. Like, who decides as a group that they're going to all start doing that? You know what I mean?
I think that's more of a general question about how customs are started.
And I would like to discuss it.
In Bosnia, what does whistling indoors bring?
Maybe sort of some riff-raff.
Riff-raff will come.
Riff-raff. I think it's ghosts.
Do you reckon ghosts?
Yeah, like whistling and then you bring the spirits of the dead out.
Riff-raff or ghosts?
Riff-raff or ghosts.
Maybe well,
okay,
riff-raff
let's
ghosts.
Let's combine the two answers, yeah. Riff-raff ghosts.
Riff-raff ghosts would be a poltergeist, yeah, I would say. No, boxers.
I think it brings, like, death or something really terrible because I feel like I'm always seeing movies where there's some creep whistling before he's going to kill someone or afterward. Yeah. And I would imagine if it brought good luck, people would be whistling all the time in Bosnia so much so that we would just know them for whistling and not other things.
Yeah. Okay.
So I feel like it's, like, really bad luck, so death.
Hive Mind, what would you say an indoor whistle brings if you are in Bosnia?
Bad wind.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
well,
man.
I'll tell you
isn't
what, someone
result?
Has been whistling indoors in my house this morning, I tell you.
I wasn't even in the house this morning.
That's genius. That is actually genius because I farted the other day and I couldn't hear it because I'd have no idea how loud they are anymore. Because sometimes you have one and it's just like a, you know, and you think, I'll get away with that one.
Yeah. You just saw people in
so
silence.
If I whistled, you know, that'd be a warning. That'd be a warning that's one on its way. Genius.
That is really good. But like an actual whistle, like a sports whistle.
Back off. Yeah.
Hive Mind, do you have a second answer?
Window cleaner.
It brings the window cleaner.
That's convenient.
Whistle indoors, the window cleaner will come. Oh, a baby.
Ooh,
you're going to have a
That's
birth.
A good one.
Whoa.
A stray cat.
So, Hive Mind, if it's bad wind, buzz now. If you think it's window cleaners, buzz now. Birth in the family, buzz now. Stray cat, buzz now. You've gone for birth in the family. Stray cat was the closest. It's rats inside. If you whistle, rats will come inside your house. Ned? Oh.
Riff Raff was so close.
Yeah,
right. Outside the riffraff of the animal community.
They really are.
I was tempted to give you a half point, and then you brought ghosts into it. And
oh,
it kind of,
Nish!
Oh,
God.
I know.
Sorry.
It's for that you're kind of communicating. It's the same, not because rats make that kind of squeaky noise.
Ugh.
It's like, oh, they'll get attracted by you whistling, so don't do that. Also, whistling's really annoying, so...
So the Pied Piper, isn't it?
Yeah. I can't whistle, and usually when I say that, someone's like, oh, you can't, and then they just start whistling. It's just like, still can't.
And it's the end of the round.
What's the scores, please, Ned?
It's pretty tense. All three teams are tied on no points.
Oh! Well,
yet to score.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry? Rebag is the answer.
Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
The next round is everyone's favourite round.
Idioms!
Nish. Oh.
What is the meaning of this foreign phrase which we have literally translated into English, fingers on buzzers? In Thailand, they say, the hen sees the snake's feet and the snake sees the hen's boobs. What does that mean? No boxes.
It's kind of like the glass houses thing. It's like when you're looking down at someone, you can like look down and point, but they're looking up at all your goodies.
You might be judging the snake's feet, but the snake is checking out
your
tits.
Can see all your stuff.
Okay, yeah. So just stop judging. Okay, Shebase?
Probably something similar to that, right? Or. Uh-huh. Oh, shut up. Oh, God. I thought this was a safe space. Oh, my God. Don't use that. So snakes looking up.
Oh, wait, hang on. I think, does it mean like snakes. You always see...
Oh, what you want. You always want what you can't have.
Or I think you always see people having things that they don't actually have. Like you always look at other people and think they must be having a great time. But
Facebook.
Actually they're not. Mm. So
FOMO.
Just to underline, Rose is
FOMO.
A young person.
FOMO.
Hive mind. What does it mean?
Takes one to know one.
Worrying over nothing.
Is it a comment on gender? So the woman is shy and looking down, and the snake is the man who's always looking at the breast.
Ooh.
Mm. So what does it mean?
Are we really buying into the idea that hens have boobs?
Yeah.
Well, have you never had chicken breast?
Them. Yes.
You go to
delicious.
Nando's all the time.
No, I get the thighs. I get the thighs. Get the boneless thighs.
Okay. Anybody else?
Different perspectives. Like everyone's got different.
Everyone's got different perspectives. Okay, so if it takes one to know one, buzz now. If you're worrying over nothing, buzz now. Gosh, people are not getting behind any of these. Even the people who said to them aren't buzzing. Sexist comment, buzz now. And there are different perspectives, buzz now. In fact, it means they understand each other. So two different people, they've got an understanding.
So it's literally
not sure
it's literally the
really
opposite of everything we said.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're yet to score. In France, someone might say, you've swallowed a grass snake. What would they mean? Shebase.
You've taken some bullshit or something. You know, like, you know, you're eating a grass snake, like a snake in the grass.
You've fallen for something.
Yeah, snake, because snake in the grass is like a sneaky person, right?
Yeah, yeah. You've been duped.
Yeah.
You've been duped. No boxes. You've swallowed a grass snake.
Oh, God, I was just thinking grass. Marijuana.
Yeah, like you had some really dank weed.
Yeah. and the snake was the doobie. Right?
Yeah, right?
The doobie, the big old...
And you're just like, oh, I swallowed all of that.
Oh,
I'm
God,
seeing
coming,
snakes.
But,
yeah.
Swallow it, yeah.
Great weed in France.
Okay.
They're really known
You've had some
for
great
that
weed.
There.
You've swallowed that grass snake. Hive mind.
You've got a tickly cough, like you've got a frog in your throat.
Tickly cough, frog in your throat.
Very good.
Okay.
Ants in your pants.
Ants in your pants. Great.
Herpes.
I'm
got
loving.
It.
No.
Got it.
Got it.
Telling a lie.
It's harmless, not poisonous one.
You've taken something harmless, not poisonous. Yeah. Okay. Mm. So if it's frog in your throat, buzz now. Ants in your pants, buzz now. Telling a lie, buzz now. Or you've taken something harmless, buzz now. In fact, it means you're so insulted you cannot reply. You're speechless with being insulted.
Well, that's lovely.
Yeah,
right.
Swallowed a grass snake.
Swallowed a grass snake.
Wait, is a snake made of grass, or does it just live in the grass? Or is the grass in your throat? Or
very philosophical questions.
In Finland,
both.
In Finland, they say you're speaking Norwegian. What does that mean? It's an idiom.
That's got to be, you're talking absolute bollocks, mate. Yeah, that is, without wishing to insult the Norwegian in the audience, it does feel like it's a sort of local rivalry. It's like, you're talking Norwegian, mate. You're speaking absolute bollocks.
You're speaking bollocks.
I agree with that.
Okay, talking bollocks?
Exactly, that's what I was going to say. Bullshit.
Yeah, I was going to say that, but maybe it's you're speaking absolute bullshit without some wonderful vodka in your hands.
Hive mind. Do we have someone Norwegian in? Do you know what the Finns say about you when you're not around? No, you don't know? You've never heard this?
No, it's mostly the Swedes that speak shit
about
us.
Especially the Swedes that speak
shit
about you.
Oh, you've got bigger fish to fry. That's a double burn on Finland.
We don't even care what they say. We don't even know. They're so important.
Bigger fish to pickle, yeah. They've got bigger fish to pickle in Norway.
Speak Norwegian. If a Finnish person accuses you of speaking Norwegian, what are they saying you're doing?
Speaking in tongues.
Oh.
It's all Greek to me. It doesn't make any sense.
All Greek to me. Okay, you've got speaking in tongues, Buzznow. All Greek to me, Buzznow. In fact, it means you're throwing up. Norwegian sounds to them. Is that...
It's because they can't hold their drink, apparently.
Really?
The Finns are like,
Norwegians.
The next door speaking Norwegian.
There is a Norwegian here. Do you get real rowdy after a couple of shandies? Have a couple of swigs and then you're like...
Yeah, I think that's true.
You didn't hear that at home? The audience member who is Norwegian confirmed that that is the case. And it's the end of the round.
What's the scores, please, Ned?
All three teams are keeping it easy for me with no points.
You haven't really earned your money today, Ned, have you, on the adding up front? You've been very good on the facts, but there's been very little Carol Vorderman-style work.
Ever been a full snake eyes?
No.
Oh,
no, we've never been this far.
We've got something to aim for.
Wow. The next round is the teams round. A member of each team has come as prepared as comedians ever are with a question based on their cultural family background. Audience, if one of you has a question for one of the teams, that'd not completely ruin the format of this show. So, Shebaze, do you have a question from your culture for No Boxes?
Yeah, well, I mean, I just looked at Nish and the panic in his eyes suggests that he did not come with one either. I'm half Samoan, so it could be one about Samoan culture. There's something, there's a concept, it's something called a fafafine in Samoan culture. What do you think that is?
Fafafine.
Fafafine.
It sounds like something from a Mozart opera.
At the
risk of sounding fancy again. Fafafine.
It's just something from any part of the culture.
You singing that and me telling you what it is going to be very strange.
It's not a Samoan magic flute. That's what it's not.
It's a kind of like how someone would identify as.
Yeah. Oh, someone would identify as this.
Yes.
Okay.
Is this like a cultural elder, like somebody who's got some kind of prominence in the community?
Actually, it's the concept of like in Samoan culture, and I mean, obviously, I know nothing about my own culture, guys, but I know
you went to see Moana.
That's true. I did.
You bought the action figure.
Come on, Rose.
Don't do yourself
back into
down.
The island. It's like the third gender, basically. So sometimes when there'll be people who are born male and can have masculine and feminine traits, but often more feminine traits. Not transgender, it's kind of something culturally by the side of it, because it's something that's really accepted in Samoan culture, which is very, very, very religious.
So is it many like other ways in Native America, the two-spirit person?
It fills a domestic role as well, when like a family will have a lot of boys in the family and they'll need someone to fulfill the roles that would traditionally a girl would fulfill, with like cooking and cleaning and stuff. One of the boys will sometimes occupy that role, and it's called Fafine. And there's a great movement of like Paris is burning, voguing style balls. It's called Faf Swag in Auckland and stuff. So it's
kind of swag.
Faf Swag. It's so cool. You should check it out. It's so good. But yeah,
I was about to say someone told me about that, and then I remembered it was you that told me that.
We live together.
Yeah,
rounded old Shebaze. No Boxes. Do you have a question for the Hive Mind?
In Karachi. When I go, what is when they say burger log, translated burger people, So who are the burger people?
Do they run? Did they run a fast food restaurant?
No.
Is it from when Pakistan separated from India? And
Whoa! Don't open that kettle of worms. Jesus Christ! You got an Indian, a Pakistani, and a white guy who says he's an eighth Indian.
I'm going to kick off if you say it. Watch it.
Incidentally,
what were you going to say, sir?
And there was a mixing of cultures as people migrated around, as the Muslim people moved towards Pakistan and the Muslim people moved out.
No, but it's great because you put it in a nice question for the 70th anniversary for the partition.
Yeah.
Whoa.
We all remember it well.
Let's celebrate all that bloodshed.
So yeah. What is the answer?
So the answer is there is a very elite middle classes that have the money, and all the rest of them will call this elite class the burger log, the burger people, because simply when McDonald's and Al came over there, they were the only ones that could afford to eat them.
Oh my God.
So interestingly...
They're the only ones who could afford to get diarrhea. Yeah. Oh, no.
But in America, it's the opposite because obviously the working class kind of...
Eat all of the McDonald's all the time. Yeah.
Wow. So it's the only ones that could afford it. So just like a bloody burger log.
I lived in Burma for a bit and the first KFC...
You've
opened.
Never mentioned it.
Yeah. Who wouldn't? It's literally the only interesting thing about me.
That's not true.
Hey, come on, Ned.
This isn't about that. This is about KFC. So the first KFC opened and it was booked out for 2 months. And one of my friends was flying a 4-hour journey to the north, and there was a KFC which was flown up for one of the oligarchs, especially. It had its own seat of KFC.
God. Plane must have stunk.
Yeah. Okay, Hive Mind, do you have a question for Shea Bays?
Oh, yeah. What's it mean? So, only show your husband half your tuchus.
Oh, where's this from?
It's an old Jewish saying.
Yeah.
Only show your husband half
your tuchus. So, tuchus is like your... Your bum.
Only show your husband half your ass.
Yes.
maybe is that supposed to be like
keeping something a mystery to a marriage?
Yeah.
Is that correct?
It's partly correct, but it's also in terms of finances. Like, don't let off everything that you have.
Keep some things for yourself. Is that a right enough answer for Shea Bays to have scored, Ned?
Oh, come on, Ned.
Ned, you piece of shit.
I was really enjoying the fact that, well, after that, like, never heard the like on this culturally diverse show. I don't think it is any points.
I think that is fair because it is like a very different interpretation of that phrase.
And it's the end of the round.
Yeah. Despite nearly breaking our winning run of no points, it's still no points.
Yeah! I demand a recount.
The next round is our World War II sexting round. During World War II, sweethearts sending each other telegrams would use acronyms to disguise the true nature of their communications because letters and telegrams were being censored. So, for example, Norwich stood for Knickers Off, Ready, When I Come Home. That's right, our grandparents and great-grandparents had learned to send pithy porn to each other when Enigma was just a twinkle in Benedict Cumberbatch's eye. The teams will have 30 seconds pen and paper to solve this acronym. Hive Mind, you can use the notes on your phone or just your head. Are you ready? Today's acronym is Paris. Paris.
We had extra time at the end.
we very much went with the approach of sometimes your first answer is your best answer for all of them. So what we've ended up with is a penis anus rim job is sexy.
It's a lot, really, though. Like, one of those is sexy. Three of those is overkill.
That would be very much my opinion.
Is it asking or telling? I don't know whether or not. Well, is a penis anus rim job is sexy?
Yeah,
or
yeah.
Is sexy? Yeah, is sexy, okay, yeah. Question mark. Yeah. No,
Paris?
Paris,
people are really irritating shits.
Oh, yeah. Have you done much sexting lately?
Yeah. No! Can you tell?
I'm really aroused by misanthropy.
Anything else?
Please arrive ready in sexy things.
Oh, that's nice. Sexy things, presumably hyphenated.
Yes.
Hive mind. Any entries?
Portmanteau.
Partially aroused, ready in a second.
Oh. Partially aroused.
Yeah. That's just like half chub.
Partially aroused, ready in a second.
Absolutely brilliant.
It's so funny.
There's nothing sexier than a man texting you, I've got a semi.
Just a picture of a broken eggplant.
In fact, the real answer is perfect angel, remember I'm stiffening.
Hey, that's not for stiffening. It's partially aroused.
Stiffening.
Yeah.
It is partially aroused. They got the theme, they got the... Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Creativity. And the high five has scored! The final round is the Smash the Patriarchy round. For our final round, we have just one question about a minority group who successfully rose up and managed to overcome their hardships and throw off the yoke of oppression, also known as the stick it to the man round. This round may only contain one question, but it is worth double points. So if you are the losing team, this may be your opportunity to rise up and smash the patriarchy by dropping knowledge in their oppressive faces and stealing their trophy of entitlement. In 1975, the women of Iceland were sick of taxation without representation. What did they do to protest that only 5% of their parliament was female? Shebase.
Maybe, did they stop paying taxes?
That Shebase is going to stop paying taxes. No boxes.
Only pay 5% of their taxes?
Only pay 5% of their taxes, because only 5% of parliament was female. Hive mind. They didn't go to work, yes, absolutely. They did stop doing work. What kind of work?
Housework.
All work. They stopped doing all work. That was housework, looking after children, going to work. They did absolutely nothing. And 90% of women participated in this.
Wow.
And that's why it worked. It is called... Someone in the audience has just said, that's only 100 people. negging Iceland there, because they've got better feminism than us. And it's called Long Friday to this day. And 5 years later, Iceland elected Europe's first female prime minister.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah,
why don't we do that?
I know,
it's
I know.
Stupid. Ladies, we should do this, right?
We'll do it this afternoon. And it's the end of the show.
What's the score, please, Ned?
No boxes and Shea Bays are tied in second place with no points.
Woo! Silver medal, baby!
Yeah.
And the Hive Mind running away with it in the end with 30 points.
Very good.
I can't believe you guys scored with a half chub. Like, that's what you guys got on the board.
Commiserations to our losers who have swallowed a grass snake. While we pour water on the backs of our winners with a big congratulations, please give it up for Sir Julie Kershey, Desiree Birch, Rose Matafeo, Ish Kumar, Ned Sedgwick in Pennant's Corner, Mark Hodge on keyboard, you, the Hive Minds, I've been Deborah Francis White, good night. You have been listening to Global Pillage, hosted and created by Deborah Francis White. Questions were set by Ned Sedgwick. Music was by Mark Hodge. The recording engineer was Chris Sharp. The producer for the sponsored data shop was Tom Zielinski. Thanks to Zoe, Matt, Sally, and everyone at King's Place. For more information about this and other episodes, please visit globalvillage.net.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.